sayings at thy word. You are God in Israel. I'm your servant. And you've done, and I've done all these things at your word. Elijah just kind of burst on the scene in 1 Kings chapter 17. Nothing is said about him before that. It's like all of a sudden he's just there. If you go back into the previous chapter, it talks about two kings. One is named Omri. The Bible says that he became king and he did more evil and was more wicked, was worse than anyone that was before him. How'd you like to have that said about you? How'd you like to have God say that about you? It makes it even worse, doesn't it? That chapter goes on a little further and talks about Omri's son, Ahab. And it says he was worse than anyone that was before him. He was even worse than his father. He was probably one of the most evil, wicked kings in the Bible. And if that wasn't bad enough, he married a woman named Jezebel. And Elijah the Tishbite, this is 17 verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. This is a king he's talking about. Did it bother him to speak like this in front of a king? How could it, when he spends all his time in the presence of God? He's not going to be impressed by anything, any man, is he? He issued a warning. Elijah, some of the lessons from Elijah, some of the things that we should keep in mind is we should know who our God is. And we are also to know who we are in him. We have to know his word. We have to know what he can do. And according to his word, what he will do. We need to live according to that. We need to act according to that. We need to stand according to that. We need to stand before God so that we can stand before man. What does it take to stand before God? You know, something occurred to me that sometimes, maybe, in order to stand before God, first we have to fall. We have to reach that point where we recognize our need for Him, that we have to rely on Him. We have to get out of the way of God many times, don't we? Elijah, several things he was bold. He was steadfast. He was real. He was filled with the things of God. His word, his love, his spirit. See, the more we're filled with the things of God, the more all the other things that I mentioned there are going to fall into place. Jesus told his disciples, greater things than these will you do, because I go to the Father and I send the Spirit. Luke 10:19, Jesus told the disciples and us that all authority has been given unto us to tread on scorpions and snakes and all the power of the enemy. Psalm 91 says, you shall tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon, you shall trample underfoot. You notice it doesn't just say we can, it says we will. We're supposed to. We're supposed to take that authority. Although Jesus went on to say that we're not supposed to rejoice in that. We're supposed to rejoice that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But that shows who we are. That shows the basis of the authority. As the Lord God lives before whom I stand, Elijah said. That's more than a statement. It's a declaration of belief. It's a prayer. But more than anything else, it's a solemn oath. As the Lord God lives, Yahweh Elohim. This was the first compound name for God as found in Genesis 2:4. This compound name for God is used of his relationship with Israel and his relationship with man. As creator, as man's moral authority, as governor of man's relationships, and as his redeemer. It applies to all that. As the Lord God lives before whom I stand, he said. As the Lord God lives, 46 times, I counted my concordance, 46 times, we find that in the Bible. We serve a living God. As the Lord God lives, he's an active God. He's a speaking God, a doing God, a loving God. As the Lord God lives before whom I stand, him only. Just him. Before whom I stand, which means before whom I serve. Before whom I stand. It places verification and validation and authority on the message that's being delivered. Elijah used that statement to verify his authority to say it. There's a New Testament example in Luke chapter 1. The angel Gabriel came to a man named Zacharias. And Zacharias didn't believe the message he brought because he told him he was going to have a child, or his wife was going to have a child, even though they were old. But the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not be able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. What's he saying? He's saying, I stand in the presence of God. I stand before him. I stand in front of him. This is how close to God I am. Elijah had the same type of relationship, didn't he? He could tell Ahab what God was going to do because he was that close to him. Before whom I stand. It's continual, by the way. We need to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. We need to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We don't just visit. We need to spend our lives there. Before whom I stand. When we stand before him, where is he? He's in his throne room. He's talking to a king. Now, how does Ahab's throne room compare with God's throne room? Elijah isn't going to be very impressed with it, is he? Before whom I stand. It will not rain until I say it does. What was the basis of this statement? Was it chutzpah? No, it's the word of God. If you read Deuteronomy, it clearly says that if you turn and worship other gods, I'm going to shut up heaven and you're not going to have any rain. Elijah took the word of God literally. said, as the Lord God of Israel. He's saying he's our God. He's not just Israel's God, by the way. He's our God also, isn't he? So what does that make us? It makes us his people. Does that afford special privileges? Yeah, it does. But to whom much is given, much is required. He expects something from us. Quid pro quo? I guess, I don't know. You guys are probably sick of hearing that, aren't you? I know I am. Elijah had no problem standing up to Ahab because Elijah spent his time standing before God. He spent his time in the presence of God. I have a book at home by someone named Brother Francis. He was from hundreds of years ago. He was a monk. And he decided one day that he was going to occupy all his time just thinking about God. It's not easy. And he had a difficult time, but he gradually grew closer and closer and was able to do more and more. Try it. Just try to think of nothing but God for 10 minutes. I don't think you're going to be able to do it. Because other things distract us, don't they? Brother Francis lived a simple life, so it would have been actually easier for him to do it. He didn't have all the shiny things flashing in front of us and all the clutter. As the Lord God lives before whom I stand, what's the difference between Elijah and me? What's the difference between Elijah and you? James 5:17-18 says that Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. Elijah was Elijah because God allowed him to be Elijah. We see, if you read his story, you see his failures. There were failures. He didn't have a great big S on his chest. He wasn't Superman. He was human, very human. The Bible shows us people exactly as they are. Elijah fled from Jezebel. He was afraid of her. He went to Mount Horeb. Mount Sinai. And he went into a cave and hid. He hid from his circumstances. He had his moment of weakness. And God visited him. God sent an earthquake. He sent a fire. He sent a wind that could break rocks. But God wasn't in the earthquake or the fire or the wind. God was in the still, small voice. God sometimes allows things to come into our life that get our attention and remind us of our need for Him. But the still, small voice, that's what reminds us of the relationship we have with Him. We see a lot going on in this world, and we know, and I've talked about this several times in recent weeks. What are we to do to prepare for everything that's happening? We're to be prepared for it. As we see the world going downhill, we need to focus on our relationship with God. That's the only thing that we need to concern ourselves with. The other things are going to happen. The Bible says they're going to happen. But God's in control. But we need to focus on our relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to spend time in the Word. We need to draw closer to Him. We need to be in that throne room with God. As the Lord God lives before whom I stand, we need to grasp that truth. We need to cling to it. We need to own it. Let's pray. Lord, touch our lives. Touch our hearts. Strengthen us in our walk with you, Lord. Lord, help us to be more committed fully to you, Lord, to the things of you. Help us to be able to stand strong. When the world says that the things of you are wrong, Lord, help us to stand strong, Lord, because we know that only your ways are right. Help us, Lord, to keep our faith strong, Lord, as we see the things that are happening. As this world continues to fall apart, Lord, we commit our lives to you, and we believe your word where it says that what we have committed to you, you're able to keep. You're able to guard until that day. Lord, strengthen your people. Fulfill your will and your purpose. And Lord, just keep us strong for whatever we face. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Lord, for your presence here today. I thank you, Lord, that you speak to us and you instruct us and you want the best for us. That you want us strong. Lord, we love you. Just be with us today, Lord. And wherever we go, whatever we do, just be with us. And bring us back safe when we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.